The following is a recording of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. For more information, visit gpts.edu.
Let's open our Bibles in Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6, we will read from verse 1 to 7. The word of God said, "Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews, because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, 'It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables.' Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we'll appoint to the duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And when they say, 'Please the whole gathering,' and they choose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicolaus, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith." Please have a seat. This is the word of God. I want to do the task today to, in this very common passage, probably you have here have read many times. This is usually read when we are selected deacons and we are ordaining deacons, but I want to especially emphasize the priority of ministry. And in the, when the Bible in this passage speak about ministry, use the word some of you may be familiar with that is the word diaconia. So it's very beautifully here how the writer of this book explain and divide the importance of the ministry of diaconia in what is called ministry at the tables and the ministry of the word. We can see that this contrast. How these two offices, the office of elders and the office of deacons, is shown here in the Bible, in the Word of God. And here is the foundation for these two offices. Not only the foundation for these two offices, but also the reminding and the importance of we as preachers of the gospel and those who are preparing for preach the gospel need to have in mind as a priority. So we will see here, first of all, the tension and the problem that arose on those days. So we will read in verse 1. "Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number," you know, the disciples were increasing in number at that point, 3,000, then 5,000. Probably many of them were Jews from the diaspora. They were visiting Jerusalem. And some of them already returned to their places, carrying the gospel that they, you know, learned with them to teach to their communities. But there were a big number. We don't know exactly the number. And there was, the Bible said that they start a murmuring, a complaint by those who speak mainly Greek against those who speak mainly Aramaic. The complaint was that the widows were being neglecting the daily distribution. The background of this tension, the Bible don't say that the women were the ones that, you know, raised those complaints, but the Bible said that in the background of this tension were women, and basically were widows. Widows that needed daily distribution. In other words, they were really poor. Some scholars believe that perhaps some of these widows, they were, you know, Hellenists, they came to Jerusalem after losing everything in order to get better care from their fellow Jews in that place. But the reason is that there were many of them, and they were in constant need of food, the constant need of help. And attention arose at that moment. And that was maybe not the first tension, but it's the most important tension that we see in this context. And as we are preparing for the ministry, some of you are preparing for ministry, you know that tensions will arise in your congregation. You know that you won't be able to escape murmuring. You know, especially this onomatopoeic expression you use constantly in the Bible to talk about people complaining about their leaders. So you will be very naive if you think that whatever you have learned in the seminary, you know, will be the full thing that you need to know in order to address those tensions. Tensions arise from the beginning of the church. And it's very interesting that there were two groups here of people. There were many groups at that time, but there were especially two groups called the Hellenists and called the Hebrews. All of these were Jews. We're not talking about here a mix of Greek people and a mix of Jewish people. We're talking here of olden Jews, but some of them that grow learning perhaps different in a different context, and which preference of language was the Greek, and other which preference of language was Aramaic. And the tension among them was evident. And these tensions, we always will be in the church. It's not only an American problem. It's not only a problem of 21st century, but it's a problem of the whole history of the church. We tend to divide by groups. As a matter of fact, you will see later on in this passage that there was a synagogue of Libertinos, which probably they were associated among themselves. They had their own synagogue. They didn't mix. They were able to interact with others, but they have their own preference in terms of their people versus, you know, those people. However, the power of the Word of God had united these two people, and the tensions arose in the community. And that is important for us to keep in mind, that there is a continuity here in the Bible. These tensions are not new. This murmuring is not new. And also, the solutions you will see have some continuity from the Old Testament. So, after those tensions, arise also a temptation. A temptation for the apostles, because it's very important here, seeing verse 2, when they said the 12 summoned the full number of disciples and said, it is not right. It is not proper. So immediately what they do is to avoid the temptation. So in order for us to understand what they later do, it's important for us to see why they didn't do. Because that was a big temptation for the apostles, to drop everything and start dealing with the particularities of the problem among the women and the widows of that time. But I will mention several things. One is, first of all, is the temptation of distraction. You in your ministry, actually, someone said that the history of ministry will be how you deal with constant distractions. The history of denominations is how you deal with constant distractions that will take you away from the importance of ministry, ministry to the tables and ministry to the world. So they didn't drop everything and immediately went to solve the problems. But what they do is they appointed the foundational office of deacons. Also, there are other things that they didn't do. They didn't ignore the problem. Okay? That's other temptation that you will feel in ministry. When you go to ministry, you will have the temptation to dismiss complaints. As a matter of fact, some people, you know, there are, I know this is for Dr. Dyer to go more into the text. Some people believe that the Bible exactly don't say that the widows were neglected. But there was a complaint, a murmuring. And the Bible actually don't deal with this, what happened exactly. But the important thing is that the apostles didn't ignore the complaints. So my call is for you to listen as a minister of the gospel to the complaints of the people. Listen, everyone. Don't dismiss people when they have complaints. If they complain about racism or they suffer prejudice, don't dismiss them. Listen them. You don't, oh, no, this is, you know, this is just trash, you know. No. Listen them. Listen their complaint. Don't do what they want you to do unless the Bible is telling so. But listen them and don't ignore. The other temptation that they didn't do is to shut down completely the ministry. They didn't say, oh, we won't give anything to the widows. Problem solved, you know. Sorry for that, you know, I'm open to corrections, but that will be very American way to solve problems, you know. Shut down the ministry, psst, no problem. The Bible didn't say it. Increasing number of people, you know, a problem arose, and they said, they summoned the full number of disciples and said, well, it is not right that we should give up preaching of the word, so let's plant two churches here. One church for the Greeks, for the Hellenists, and one church for the Hebrews. That will be another American solution. Beautifully, you know. Two churches, no problem. Everybody with their own practice. You know, the Libertinos, the synagogue of the Libertinos was an example of that. They were probably brought by Pompey. They were later free, and they were associated with themselves. They identify as Jews, but they had their own identity in terms of cultural, in terms of language, in terms of preferences. It's very interesting here to see how the temptation tried to destroy the radical unity of the church. However, the Bible said that they didn't deal that way, in a worldly way. Y another big temptation is a pragmatical solution. You know, this will happen in some part of the church in 21st century. They will say, because this is a women problem, let's appoint some women to solve the problem. This will be a very smart solution, isn't it? They are dealing with women. So, problem solved, let's appoint some women, and they will deal the problem between women. However, they will say, no, the Bible shows us how they avoid the temptation, and they pass to action. And the action you see here in verse 3, that the 12 gathered together. They said, brothers, pick out from among you seven men. You know, the word here is andras, which means they should be male. That's one of the reasons, because a lot of people don't want to recognize that this is a foundational passage for the diaconate. They don't want to say that because it's, you know, it's very clear that there is male men appointed for the office of deacons. So people say, no, this is talking about other things. This is a pragmatical solution for the apostles at that time, but it should not apply to us. You know, we have a big problem with us. If you believe in the perspicuity of the scripture, you believe that the canon is closed, you know, I challenge you in this. Where do you see what is the task for deacons in the New Testament? You know, there is qualifications for deacons, but there is no other passage more important to see what is the task of deacons, which is the ministry to the table, than this passage of the Bible. So this passage of the Bible against modern scholarship show us that these seven male, were ordained to deal with this situation, this problem. So you will see the contrast in verse 2, when they said, it's not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables, which means literally the ministry of the tables. But we will devote ourselves to the ministry of the word. Ministry of the word. That in both sentences is used the word diaconia. Diaconia trapeze, that means ministry of the tables, and diaconia logu, which means ministry to the world. And in this included, of course, the prayer and the serving of the world. So, what was the action here? First of all, this is the solution that they brought to him. Establish and defend the simplicity, but at the same time, the glory or the priorities of the church. You know, when I go to my country, Peru, and other places to visit missions, sometimes I have seen how many missions have given up to this priority. Because when you are a missionary, I don't know how many of you will go to missions, you will find some places a lot of poverty and a lot of social problems, and you will be tempted, just since you arrived to the airport, to let the word of God and devote yourselves to this ministry of the tables. I have seen over and over these churches which have become, instead of becoming the preaching of the word and the priority of the ministry, they have become places for assistance of poor people. And all of that with the money of United States, American money, but without leadership. And that's a very sad situation. But you see other churches in Peru which they don't receive a single dollar from America. However, they are preaching the word of God, ministering the sacraments, devoting to prayer, and they have flourished. You see leadership. You see people that are discipling others. That is the focus of the church. Always defend and establish the simplicity that Christ has shown us what to do. You know, some people believe this is a pragmatical solution. It's not at all. That is no a lucky number that they should seven. You know, this is for other discussion. However, in this ministry of the tables and this ministry of the word is the ministry of Jesus Christ. Because he was the one that, as you see, as you read the Bible, had compassion. Compassion for the people that need food. You know, I have compassion for these people. I cannot return to their home. They don't have bread. However, it's the same Jesus Christ that had compassion and said, and saw the multitudes that they were like sheep without shepherd. They were not receiving the word of God. They were starving sheep. So always establish the priority. God is calling us the priority that is in Christ. The perfection is in Christ. He is the perfect elder, the perfect teaching elder, and the perfect deacon. He is the ones that establish this vision for offices that you see here. It's very important that both ministries are explained here as depending on the Holy Spirit. You may see that diaconia is something that only is about serving food. However, the Bible said that in the requirements, it was important that they have the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. In one sense, a spiritual task, diaconia, and also the ordination of elders. Also, you see how they empower leadership here. That's very important. You know, it's not also a matter of luck that all of these names are Greek. You know, you have read all these names. One of them even was a Gentile that became a Jew. That was difficult for many of them to pronounce or read those names, these last names. However, they were called to, probably they were able to speak better the Greek. Like I'm able to speak Spanish. I speak English with Southern accent. You know, more Southern than Southern Peru, yes. But they were appointed as a serving as a elders in the church of Jesus Christ. So I want to encourage you to keep in mind the importance of this ministry, of this service, of this diaconia. When I say diaconia, I'm not saying only to ordain deacons, but to have the importance and the distinction of these two offices. Appoint men to serve as a deacons in the church, an appointment to serve as elders and teaching elders of the church. This is the beauty that God shows us for us when you will deal with different tensions, with different problems in churches. I think this is about time to finish. I don't know if I went too much, but let me pray. Let's pray together for this. So God bless our time, and God bless the Word of God today. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity that we have to read the Word of God today and to know how the Bible is calling us to be focused, to establish the priority of ministry. How they focus the importance of prayer and the preaching of the word. Father, bless these men that are preparing themselves to be preachers of the gospel. Bless the professors that are training them and teaching them. Bless all the alumni of this seminary that are serving in different places, and help us all to keep the priority or high call and to establish churches where the means of grace are the focus of the church. We ask humbly in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to this production of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. For more information, please visit gpts.edu.